Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's Inside Athletics podcast. I'm Sports Information Director James DeBoer. Dave King is out today, so I am running the show. Hopefully I can find enough to talk about, but I think so. We've got sports, and I like sports, so that's always good. Just to start out on a weird note, though, I just came from the dentist, and I tell you, I think they were feeding me candy there at the dentist. It was so weird, and they always put the little toothpaste stuff in your teeth. And it was chocolate mint. I honestly thought they were spreading a York patty through my mouth when they did it. It was great. I was a little worried about salivating too much and trying to eat the stuff, but it worked out. It was not a bad trip to the dentist, so kudos to my dentist. But let's get into sports. You probably don't like hearing about dentists too much. So this time of year, of course, we are clear done with the fall season, and it's kind of a quiet time of the year. We're getting ready to get into exams. I know you can all have a little bit of a shudder if you remember exam season, but I mean, it's almost the end of the semester. So we're hitting that time of year where things will slow down a little bit. But the fun part is, at least for basketball, is that both men and women started off their ODAC schedules this past week. And that gives us a ton to talk about. But I want to start things off with track and field. Yes, you heard me, track and field. It's indoor, and it starts this weekend already. On Saturday, our track teams are heading down to Lynchburg for the Liberty kickoff. I feel like Lynchburg is about where half of our indoor track meets are, either Liberty or Lynchburg College is hosting most of our meets. So that's where we're starting off this Saturday, the Liberty kickoff, and it should be a lot of fun. I worked on the season preview earlier this week. It's posted on the website, emuroyals.com, so make sure you check that out. A really, really interesting season preview. It's a lot of fun as Coach Jason Lukowitz now in his second season here at EMU, and watching the rebuilding process that he's doing with our not only the cross-country programs but now the track programs in his second season. And it's just a lot of fun to watch the way things are building. One thing I noted in the preview, 2 years ago, the year before Jason came, we had 13 total kids on the roster, including just four on the men's roster. Very small. Obviously, most track rosters are going to be much bigger, say 50 or 60 for a complete team. And so we had very small rosters back then. And this year, Jason has about 40 total on the two rosters. I forget what number he had last year, but he's almost double from what he had last year. And so it's a lot of fun, for one, just to see the numbers come up. But for two, to see the talent level come up with that, of course. But for three, it's just, I feel like just the way that Jason's building the program, it's a good solid way to build the program. I like the direction he has the kids. You know, he's pushing them to do well individually, but also to celebrate those individual achievements as a team, but also focusing them to greater goals and to glorifying God with their gifts. And I think that really exemplifies everything that EMU is standing for as far as being a Christian university. And it's just a lot of fun to watch Jason building the programs. So it should, on the court or on the field or however you want to say it, it should be really exciting to watch our teams this year. We have a number of players, runners who have been doing well in cross-country seasons from this fall, and it'll be fun to see them get onto the track courses this year and to see how that continues. Of course, we had the great explosion for the women's cross-country program being regionally ranked for most of this past fall. And so a lot of those runners continue on into the track season, so that gives them a big anchor. On the men's side, we also have a couple of good cross-country runners that are continuing to the track season. But one difference that we're getting this year is Michael Allen is back. We all remember his name probably from a couple of years ago. Went to the national track meet, I think indoor and outdoor, during his first 3 years on the team. Last year he missed because he was off campus with his cross-cultural study, and decided it wasn't worth it. I mean, if he could have, I think in the fall semester he could have gone to like one track meet or something. And so obviously it's better for him, if he knows he's doing 5 years, to just take a year off of being on the team. So he's back this year, and so that's a lot of fun to have someone with his experience, talent level, on anchoring the men's team. Of course, he and Jason, I'm sure, will be quick to point out he's a little bit rusty, hasn't competed on the field and about a year and a half since the end of his last outdoor season. So he's going to be working through some things, but Michael Allen is back, and that adds a lot of excitement as well on the men's side. So should be a lot of fun to watch our track teams. Definitely head on over to the website and check out that preview. on the track teams and Coach Jason Lukowitz, and how he's built them over the last year and a half now. A lot of excitement building for our still small track teams, but definitely improving track teams. Basketball, definitely exciting. As I mentioned, the ODAC opener was this past Wednesday, and it was pretty interesting. Both teams went down to Guilford, which is fun enough. Guilford's always pretty talented matchup, no matter which side of the ball, men's or women's, we're on. But both Guilford teams this year are pretty good. The Guilford women were picked as the ODAC favorites. The Guilford men, I believe, were fourth in the preseason poll. So a lot at stake with those games. And let's jump into the women's side. I'm not going to bother you with too much of the score because you can probably see most of it. But the women led from – well, never trailed. It was tied once or twice early on, but they never trailed after scoring the first bucket. And certainly was tight at times, but they kind of pulled away and then won by 13. And what a big win for our women. I know that Coach Kevin Griffin has been nervous about the beginning of this season because they have a packed schedule. I know that, you know, a lot of times we talk about a hard schedule, but they really, really have a hard schedule. They are now 2-2, and all four of those games have come against teams that went to the NCAA tournament last year. So that says a lot right there. And actually the first six games are all against very tough teams. This weekend, the women go to Virginia Wesleyan, who was last year's regular season champion. And this year was picked third in the preseason poll. So that's our one team that hasn't qualified for the national tournament, and they're still pretty good. And then following that, we host Mary Washington, and, Mary Wash went to the national tournament last year, and I forget what they were in the latest poll, maybe 12th or 13th in the national poll. And so that is game six of the season for our women. I know Coach was worried early on. He said, you know, we could just as easy be 1-5 to start out the year. They can't do that anymore. They already got their second win. But it's definitely, definitely a tough schedule for our women. And it's been really exciting to see them come out so far. They've played pretty well. They're a team with a lot of returners, but they're actually still pretty young. A lot of sophomores and juniors on the team. And they, I think a big key for the women is they lost Marla Young last year, who wasn't one of their leading scorers, but was definitely a leader on and off the court. And so they have to replace that leadership. And that's something that I think a lot of fans forget about, is replacing the leadership. It's not just the scoring you have to replace. It's some of the personalities and leadership roles on the bench and in practice and such. And Marla had a lot of that. And so I think that's going to be one of the bigger adjustments actually for our women, is kind of refilling that leadership role that Marla played last year. And so I think, I don't know what Kevin would say, but it's been a relatively successful start to the year. Of course, everyone would love to be 4-0 and undefeated, but 2-2 against the schedule we've had is pretty solid for our women. And that win over Guilford, really a very big win. And I think looking ahead to the end of the year, you don't want to look ahead too much. But I think when we compare the men's and the women's basketball sides in the ODAC, I think on the women's side, the regular season is a little more important than the men's side. Not that you can ever say that a game is not important. We don't want to go that route, of course. But I think on the women's side, it's just a little more important, because for the women, it seems like there's a couple of teams that are generally in the upper echelon. And then on the men's side, it's much more balanced. So there's a lot more parity on the men's side. So for the women, to get one of those top seeds in the ODAC tournament, I think it really gives you an advantage in the first or second round even. And I think clinching that top spot in the ODAC tournament is a big deal for the women, especially because I think that the fourth or fifth spots in the ODAC tournament probably not quite as talented as what you would see in relation to the men's side with between the fourth and fifth seeds. So that win over Guilford is a very key one. It gives us a leg up on the Quakers. We are the two teams, EMU and Guilford, the two teams on the women's side picked at the top of the ODAC poll. And then we took all of the first place votes between the two of us in the preseason poll. So that was a pretty big win. certainly not counting any chickens before they hatch, try not to apply too much pressure, any of that jazz. But it was just a great way for our women to start with that win on the road at Guilford, a very, very talented team. But still, big games coming up for our women. This weekend is on the road at Wesleyan. But next week, Tuesday, when we play host to Mary Washington, make sure you come out to that game. It's going to be one of the better women's games that you'll be able to see in Yoder Arena this year. Playing host to the Eagles, a team that went to the national tournament last year. And sure, it's a non-conference game, but a lot at stake, and I think it should be a lot of fun. Looking over to the men's side, they also played at Guilford, and that was a wild game. What a wild game, full of swings. And part of that is what you're going to see in the ODAC, I think. Just a quick recap of the game. Our men finished the half on a huge run. I think it was 8-plus minutes. They didn't allow Guilford to even score at the end of the first half. We went into halftime with a 13-point lead. The Quakers came right out in the second half on a huge run, and they were up by 11 at one point with about 5 minutes left, I think. I think it was 59-48 was the score. And then our men turned right back around and had a great run to close it out. Had it tied at 64-64. Andrew Thorne hit a three-pointer with like less than 10 seconds left. And then, of course, the Quakers get the three-pointer from just inside a half court. I think we're all used to that from last year. I think about five times last year the men lost on a half-court shot or a shot at the buzzer or something like that. But that's what you get in ODAC men's basketball. Just a lot of parity. And something I noticed, everybody on the ODAC men's side has now played one game. And what I've noticed, I think there's 12 teams, so six games. One game was a blowout. Hampton-Sydney, I forget who they played, but they blew whoever out they were playing. All the other five games, the largest margin of victory was 6 points. And so that means that out of 12 teams, there's a lot of really good teams in the league. Virginia Wesleyan, the clear-cut favorite on the men's side, beats Roanoke by just a couple of points. I think it was maybe a three-point game. And Wesleyan is regarded, I think they're number two in the nation right now. And Roanoke was not in the top couple of the ODAC preseason poll. And so that's just how balanced that is. That game was actually in Virginia Beach. So Wesleyan is at home and struggles to beat a mid-level team from the ODAC. And so the men's side, I know Kirby tells this to his players, but they have got to be on every single night because you could lose any game, even to the 12th place team in the league. It's very talented, very deep. So that makes it a lot of fun on the men's side, a lot of pressure. But one of the things about that, you do have to come out every night and try your hardest. But I also feel like come the end of the year, you can't kill yourself if you finished fifth as opposed to third or seventh as opposed to fifth because kind of at the end of the year, part of it might just be, hey, who you happen to play, and that's not always your fault and how you win or lose, but part of it is just how your team is playing. Anybody who's hot can make a run on the men's side. We've actually seen that the last couple of years. Randolph, a couple of years ago, went to the title game and lost, but they were a very low seed, and so you see a lot of that, I think, on the men's side is just possible upsets and runs by teams in the tournament. And so that's a bit of the difference with the men's side between the women's side. I think the women, you'll generally see the upper seeds advance at least to the semifinals. The men's side, it's kind of a free-for-all. Whoever's playing well in tournament time is going to do well. So that's a lot of fun for the men. They're also on the road this weekend playing at Roanoke, the team that just gave Virginia Wesleyan a big handful. But for the men, circle this one on your calendars. Next week, Saturday, December 8th, playing host to Randolph-Macon. And well, we've had some fun games with the Yellow Jackets over the last couple of years. Sadly, we haven't beaten them since a couple of years ago when they were the number one team in the nation, and we beat them by 20-some points. But since then, they've beaten us every single time, but it's also been close every single time. Last year, they beat us at three-pointers at the buzzer twice during the regular season, and then in the postseason, we sent it to overtime with a three-pointer at the buzzer, and then they pulled away in OT in the ODAC tournament. But the Yellow Jackets coming to Harrisonburg next week, Saturday, December 8th, a 7 o'clock game. So just circle that in your calendar now. Make it a date night. Stop studying. Do whatever. don't tell your teachers I said that. But I think that's also just going to be a really good matchup. We're developing a great rivalry on the men's side with Randolph-Macon. So a lot of fun coming up. Of course, if you can't make home games, jump onto the website, emuroyals.com. We have live stats and live webcasts for all the home games. And in fact, this year, almost all the road games have webcasts as well. I believe there are live stats of every single home or road game for both our men's and women this year. But most of the road games will have a free video webcast you can watch as well. And all that can be found, if you're looking in the right places, on emuroyals.com. So thanks for hanging out with me. I'm sure I talked longer than I anticipated, but thanks for hanging out and listening. Basketball season is here. Christmas season is here, and it's just a fun time of year. Hopefully you had a great time with your family over Thanksgiving, and looking forward to catching some good basketball games before the Christmas break in Harrisonburg or on the road. So for those of you listening, make sure you come back again next week. And in the spirit of Dave King, I invite you all to make it a great week.